This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. My name is Alan Ellis, and this is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And guess what? We talk about fishing and hunting today and the great outdoors. This is the first day of the Maryland firearms deer season, and we've got a couple of guests in the studio. We're pre-recorded today, but during this day, you can call in and register for our muzzleloader giveaway from the fine folks at CVA. And that's CVA.com if you'd like to go online and take a look at some of those great muzzleloaders from CVA. And if you don't happen to win and need a muzzleloader, well, we recommend CVA for you. I've been shooting them for years. This is, I mentioned, the first day of the deer firearm season. And those of you who are still listening and not headed back into your tree stands and your hidey holes in hopes of anticipating encountering a deer today, we have a little prayer of blessing for you, as we have done the last several years with our friend Phil Norman. Phil Norman is a pastor and a good friend and a good deer hunter. So we're going to ask Phil to ask the blessing for safety on all of our deer hunters today. Phil Norman, you're up.
Good morning, everyone. Father, we want to come before you and ask for your blessing, ask for your covering, your guidance. That by your Holy Spirit you would keep us safe, keep us alert, keep us thoughtful of what we're doing and what we're supposed to be doing. Don't let our excitement and our emotions overcome the need to keep a level head, and we enjoy this sport most when we do it safely. So, Father, keep us. And keep us productive, that we might manage the herd and provide food for our families and for those in need. And we ask it all in your son's name. Amen.
Amen, Phil.
Amen.
Amen, Phil. Thank you, sir. I know you're busy this morning. We are pre-recording this show, and you are involved in a hunt. So we're going to get you on your way. But we want to thank you again for calling in and blessing all the hunter, and you know, asking the prayer blessing for our hunters again this season, Phil.
Always glad to, Alan. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You have a great day and a great season, Phil.
Hope to hear good reports from everybody. Thanks.
You got it. Thanks, bye. Buddy. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with a couple of guests this morning. We've got a newbie, and she's a little nervous. Her name is Carol Charrington. Say good morning, Carol.
Good morning, everyone.
There she is. And, Carol, by way of introduction, you want to tell us what you do for a living, and then I'll tell our listeners why you're here.
Well, I work as a food broker by day.
Okay.
And I've worked in the food industry most of my life.
Right.
And I've been hunting for approximately, 25 years. Upland birds and waterfowl for most of that. In the past five, I've been hunting bigger game, antelope and elk and deer and so forth. And I'm trying to bring the art of cooking game to another level. So I've been focused on that for a few years.
Yes, you have. And I'll tell you, you've just joined us in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly as our gourmet wild game recipe provider. And this the current issue, which is on the shelves now, that is the winter issue, and online at MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. You've got two recipes in there. One is called a venison tortilla.
Absolutely
did
correct.
Did I say that correct?
You sure did.
Yeah, it's a big meat pie. And then the other one is a goose recipe, correct?
Mm-hmm,
it is. And you've got all the side dishes, too, like the crab and mushroom stuffing and, oh, my goodness.
I do.
Cranberry. I don't know what kind of sauce you've got with that, but it's
cranberry, bourbon, vanilla.
Yeah, that sauce.
You brought a whole nother level of sophistication to the show, Alan.
Yeah, it was accidental, but you know, it's not my normal. So, but and joining us that voice you heard right there. Thank you for joining us, Carol. And we'll get talking to you here in a minute. That voice you heard right there, ladies and gentlemen, was Brian Eiler, who is, I never get this right. You're the Deer Project leader.
You got it.
Deer Project leader for the state of Maryland, and you know where all the deer are. In the entire state,
you've
met
each one of them
personally.
We have them inventoried.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. What's Cecil County looking for today?
Should be a good year. We don't have a lot of acorns in Cecil, I don't think, for the most part.
No.
That makes deer move.
Not good ones.
Right. And that makes deer move, and when deer move, hunters are happy.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, we've been blessed. So. Yeah. In Cecil County this year already with my grandson Jacob taking that beautiful 11-point on Youth Saturday, and I'll be on that same farm. So I told him he got his grandpa by 1 point as far as the biggest deer and most points. I said, yeah. You know, I'm going to have to shoot that 12-point.
That's a pretty high bar.
It's a very high bar.
Yeah, that's a pretty high bar.
For grandpa, yeah. You're darn right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, well, let's get started. Brian, just recently the report came out about the early deer season. Results, and we're up a little bit for the year.
Yeah, up about 5%.
So,
just over 23,000 that we took in the early bow and early muzzleloader, as we call it.
So, right, the early bow season, muzzleloader season.
Through October.
Yeah. Any preliminary figures on Youth Day?
Youth Day, yeah, we're up a little bit, or actually it looks like Youth Day we're going to be about right where we were last year, right around 2,500 deer.
2,500.
You know, it was really windy on Saturday.
It was.
I don't have to tell you. But
no, we were in there.
Yeah, I think that probably cut down a little bit on the numbers. Okay. But yeah, we're right around where we were last year.
So we're at 23,000 deer in the early season.
Yep,
and correct. And that's 23,048, according to your numbers, 21,965 last year.
Right.
And the top counties, I guess, still remain the top counties.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much Frederick.
In Frederick and Carroll, and they're in those counties.
Yep, exactly. Right, we might delve into those numbers a little bit better, but tell us, according to the Maryland Deer Report, the deer population has been declining.
We've been going after them pretty hard over the last, 10 years, 15 years. So, I think numbers in some parts of the state definitely have declined somewhat. I mean, there's still a lot of deer out there.
Sure. I think the number was 199,000.
Yeah,
at one point, we were at over 250, I think.
At one point, we were just shy of 300. If you look at our model, 10, 12 years ago, we peaked at about 300. And last year, for the first time in a long time, we saw that number dip below 200,000 to 199. Now that model is tied real tight to the kill harvest. So last year, our kill went down quite a bit because we had a really good acorn year.
Right.
So part of that drop is just indicative of that drop in
which
the harvest.
Which is possibly why we're seeing the bump in this year's harvest so early.
Exactly. So, it's the big picture.
That's sure.
As my old predecessor used to say, deer management, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Sure.
So we got to look at the long-term trend.
Right.
But no doubt. I mean, there's fewer deer on the landscape.
Sure.
You talk to a lot of people, though, they'll tell you there's still too many deer in a lot of areas.
Well, that depends on who you talk to.
If you talk to
hunters that aren't seeing deer,
right.
then, where are they,
right.
of course.
Right.
And I think that's been consistent through this season, particularly on the Eastern Shore, people that I've talked to. Where are the deer? We don't see them in the early muzzleloader season, and we have,
Now, the funny thing is, last year we saw that big drop. Overall, we were down about 10%. But the shore counties were only down a couple percent. And that goes back to the acorns. The shore is not, a lot of oak. The acorns over there don't have the impact like the rest of the state have. So the shore counties last year didn't drop near as much as what some of our counties over on this side of the bay did.
Explain that dynamic with the acorns. Explain that to our hunters when there's a big acorn year, which is usually about every other year or so.
Yeah.
Explain that, how that affects the deer harvest.
So, I have a lot of hunters look cross-eyed at me and think that's just the craziest thing ever when we say that. But every state in the Appalachian Range can show you the exact same thing. Acorns are the number one food source for deer, and that's their preferred food. And when you have a lot of acorns, deer don't you know, and it's worse in Maryland because we're a baiting state.
Right.
We allow baiting.
Right.
And when you have a lot of acorns out there dropping, deer don't go to bait. They'll walk right by a corn pile to get to an oak tree.
Right.
So it's hard to believe that, that can change that dynamic that much, but it really does. I mean, when you have a really good acorn year, deer just don't move as much. They don't come to bait. And, you know, they're not putting themselves in front of hunters, and so the kill goes down. And like I said, that's just not a Maryland deal. I mean, West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, we all can share the same thing.
To me, then, that shows that our woodsmanship skills have declined if we're just sitting on a bait pile. Just, you know, in general, I'm just talking here that, you know, you've got to do some woodsmanship. If you find an acorn flat, and you position your tree stand in the right spot, or, you know, you sneak in there the right way and don't blow those deer out of there, you're going to be successful. Get off the bait. Yeah, because they're not going to be there. But, right. You know, it's just consistently year after year after year, same ladder stand, same tree, same bait pile, you know, and wait for one.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, guys feed deer on a year-round basis.
Right.
You know, so they condition those deer. They pattern those deer to come to those bait piles and watch them day after day after day with a trail camera and, you know, that type of thing. But that's almost the same type of artificial thing that they're doing. And, you know, once those deer get used to that, they know that that's there. But all of a sudden, the day that you're out there hunting, they decide, I think we're going to go get some acorns today.
Yeah, you know.
So, I didn't see anything on my pile today. You know,
so there's no deer.
Right.
Three years ago, we saw a big drop in the harvest, and, you know, and of course, my phone rang quite a bit that we killed all the deer.
Yeah.
Well, the very next year, we had our fifth highest harvest on record, 95,000 or whatever deer the very next year. So, so those deer were there the year before. They just weren't putting themselves in front of hunters like they do in most years. So.
And again, a year or two after a good acorn harvest, I always see an uptick in the quality of the bucks for some reason, and I don't know if that's... If that's a consequence or a...
It very well could be.
Yeah,
very well could be. I mean, it's all based on energy.
We're taking some awful good deer this year.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So.
And I'm sure, you know, with the way the harvest dropped last year, we carried over a lot of bucks last year that otherwise would have been killed. So, I'm sure you are seeing some better quality
deer. You're quoted on the website, on the DNR website, that we pretty much brought the rural deer population under control. And that the problem of overpopulation or the perception of overpopulation is primarily in suburbia.
Correct. Yeah. We have a lot easier time managing deer where we can get to them.
Where hunters can get to them.
You know, that Baltimore-Washington corridor is always going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
No question about it.
And that's where the highest volume of people are. That's where the highest volume of deer encounters are.
And deer are very adaptable, and they live in that corridor.
They love it.
Yes, indeed.
So, all right. Well, Carol, we're going to get to you here in a short little bit, but we've got to take our first break of the day. It's time for me to remind the folks about Clyde Sporting Goods. Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now, that's just off Beltway exit number 9. And let's talk about deer rifles for a second. They still have a good supply of the AB3, the A-Bolt 3. It's a combination package with a 3-9 Redfield scope, and it comes in a hard case. It's a black synthetic stock, a black rifle, and it's a bolt action, modern firearm, not one of those sporting firearms, you know, like the, but it's a traditional rifle, and it's the best value out there going for this kind of combination with a case and a rifle, and the scope as well. Now, if you want to take it up a step, then go to the X-Bolt. All standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers, adjustable feather trigger, detachable rotary magazine, another great choice for deer hunters. And then the BPS pump comes in 12 and 20 gauge rifled barrel deer models, features bottom ejection, comes in a DuraTouch armor coating finish in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo, blends you right in. Just don't set it up against a tree and then, you know, walk away. But I'll tell you what, that BPS pump, that is a great, great shotgun. All from Browning, all from Clyde Sports Shop. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. Hey, you bagged your deer. Congratulations. Now what? Well, if you live in Central Maryland and are searching for a deer processor, your hunt is over. M&G Wild Game Processing in Westminster can skin and cut your deer just the way you like it. And all your venison cuts are vacuum sealed. They skin and cape your deer for mounting if you need it with taxidermy services provided by Pool's Taxidermy. Now, M&G Wild Game Processing can make your venison into tasty bologna in five flavors. Deer hot dogs, snack sticks, and deer burger patties. Try the new Applewood smoked deer bacon, smoked deer hams, whole or chipped, deer jerky, pastrami, kielbasa, and much more. M&G Wild Game Processing offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off, and they're open 7 days a week for pickup. M&G is located behind Bullock's Restaurant on Route 32 near Route 97. That's 2020 Sykesville Road in Westminster. The website is mgprocessing.com and the phone number 443-375-7138. Call 443-375-7138 for M&G Wild Game Processing. Yum, yum. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Deer hunters, the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns this season. By donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. And you can win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through any FHFA shear processor and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness. From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, right, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
They just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
People pouring over our borders, wave after wave after wave of people who do not share our cultural beliefs, our beliefs about government, who do not seek to become American citizens.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7, Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead, well, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed a Jimmy and a white. I've been a passed on everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
And we're back. Here on a pre-recorded show. First day of the Maryland deer firearm season. And, Carol, we talked about a lot of deer harvest there in the last segment, but now we want to talk just a little bit about cooking them. And that's your specialty.
Okay.
Exactly. Guy shoots deer today. First thing he has to do to make that deer taste good a month from now on the table.
Well, for me, actually, my preparation starts a couple months before.
Okay.
I make sure that I spend my time at the range and I'm practicing for the type of hunting that I'm planning to do that season. For example, if I'm going for long-range game, I'm hunting out west, which I try to do every fall. I start on the range, and I need to get my rifle zeroed in at 200 so that I know
right.
that I'm prepared.
Right.
A clean kill is always going to ensure that your meat tastes a whole lot better.
Well, sure.
And depending on the time of year, you need to cool that game down really quickly, clean
mm-hmm.
it, cool it down, and get it to your processor. If you're handling it yourself, get it into a cool area and start working with it right away.
Okay. I'm talking about before we get it to the butcher shop. What about when it hits the ground? Now what? What's the best thing to do? Get it cleaned out right away, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, as fast as you can get to that animal, and open that body cavity and get that heat moving out
mm-hmm.
of there. That's what you want. We had Jason Carter, a taxidermist, on here a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about the effects of heat on the deer's hide and the fact that, you know, you've got to get that deer cooled down so that the hide doesn't start to slip. You know, you don't want to just drag it around in your truck all day long and show it off, because if you want to mount that deer, you need to take care of that hide, because that bacteria starts to form in between the layers of the skin and causes the fur to, or the hair to actually pull out. It's called slipping. But when it comes to meat preparation, same deal. I mean,
mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, you get that heat and bacteria starts to gather there, and we want to make sure that's all open and aired out and that type of thing. What about accumulation of blood in the body cavity? Any problem with that, or is that a good thing?
I think a clean kill ensures you don't shoot your meat full of blood.
Right.
And no, clean it out right away.
In other words,
that's been my practice.
Yeah. So you dress that deer out and it's laying there on its back and there's, you know, flip it over.
Cut the pelvis, pull it all out, pull it all down, let it cool, go through and pick out your little treasures that you want to take with you. Grab your heart, grab your liver, grab your caul fat, because those are all wonderful ingredients when you're back in your kitchen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
On a deer, caul fat?
Absolutely.
Okay, good for you. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit in a little bit later then. Okay, so now you've got your deer dressed out, you got it cooled down. Got it in the back of the truck. You want to make sure that body cavity stays open. Put a stick or a piece of plastic or something in there, even a bag of ice to cool that cavity down. If you're 3 hours from home, right?
That would be perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then get it to the processor if you're taking it there. And if you're cutting it yourself, what about aging? What about leaving the deer hang with the hide on, or do you want to age it without the hide on?
I think it's optimum if you can age it. I've never been in the position where I could.
Right.
Don't have the space, don't have the cooler large enough to do such a thing.
Right.
And my processor, he'll age it as best he can.
Sure.
But oftentimes these guys are, you know, they're working through so many animals through their shop.
Sure.
That they've got to push them through. I think in choosing your processor, it's nice if you know ahead of time.
Pre-play.
Pre-play, exactly, who you'd like to use. We're very fortunate in this area. We have a lot of processors that are actually meat guys in the business, in the
grocery industry. That's true.
And that can make all the difference in how they process your game.
Exactly. Yeah.
And choosing your cuts, I think it depends on the level of cooking you like to do. If you're the type of cook that is short on time and you don't want to spend a lot of time in the kitchen, you're going to lean more towards your grinds and your steaks. You might go with a roast or two, but things that you can cook quickly.
Yeah.
If you're a little more adventurous and you've got a butcher or processor that can handle it, then go for the more primal cuts. I mean, it's really fun to play with those. For example, when I took my cow elk this year, my processor could cut all the primals, save me a lot of the organ meats that I wanted, but he also did some things such as he saved the brisket, he saved the breast on the elk.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to corn that and do some different things with it like I would if it was a cut of beef. And,
right.
And that can be really fun if you're into that kind of thing.
Sure. Most of the time the processor will just take the rib cage and he'll just slip that meat out from between the ribs and throw it in the grind pile.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that, but you can also do a rack of ribs if you like. And a lot of times they'll just cut the meat off the big meat off the neck rather than do the neck roast. You know, unless you really ask for a neck roast or you ask to keep the ribs, that's all good eating. It's just all in the preparation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And that's the trick of it. Don't be afraid.
Right.
If you generally braise a certain cut, if you generally braise a brisket or a chuck, you're going to do the same thing with your deer or your elk or your antelope.
Okay. Me, I'm boneless roast in the crock pot with onions and mushrooms and tenderloin.
And it's hard to beat that.
That's me. But, it's just me. So, I cook for me, and it's only me. So I want to keep it as simple as possible. I don't spend a lot of time adding ingredients and this and that and the other thing. I know what I like. That's how I cook my game. And a lot of people are like that. But that's why you're here, because people get stuck in a rut.
Exactly.
Stuck in a rut. My ex-mother-in-law, God rest her soul, used to cook deer steaks, bake them in milk.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was. And it was good stuff. I mean, she'd been doing it for years, and she said, we're having deer steaks, and here's how we cook them, and we're good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you ever heard of that, Brian?
No, I can't say that I have.
Well, she baked the steaks and pieces of tenderloin in milk, and there we are. So, that's just something else. I mean, people use mushroom soup, which is basically a cream base, cream of celery, and that's, crock pot stuff, too. But,
Nothing wrong with shortcuts. And the crock pot, the pressure cooker can be your friend. I mean, you can take all day in a crock pot, which is wonderful. But with a pressure cooker, you can come home after work, and within an hour, you've got a meal that could have been simmering all day long. And it's done, and it's delicious, and you can go down and watch the news and come up, and your dinner's ready. So,
now, do you use an electric pressure cooker or on the stove type of pressure cooker?
Mine's an electric pressure cooker.
Electric pressure cooker. I mean, the old style, I'm afraid of those things, But I've had some good meals out of pressure cookers through the years, there's a lot of people out with this, but I had a friend who loved beef tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I cooked it in a pressure cooker. And it was just spectacular, And so I can imagine that a deer roast with proper seasoning and a proper amount of time would probably just fall apart on you under a pressure cooker.
It does. It does. It's wonderful. It's very easy to do.
Yeah. So, people don't know this, but like Royal Farms chicken, let's just say that, that's done in a pressure cooker, so to speak. But it's deep fried under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you, if you like that, and that's nice and tender and crispy and that type of thing. What do they call that? Broasted chicken or whatever that name is, But why wouldn't they like venison done the same way?
I think that they would. And if you can find yourself a simple cookbook that goes along with your pressure cooker, literally all of those recipes, the beef recipes and the pork recipes, will adapt themselves to venison as well.
Yeah, of course. Okay. That's good. Now, Brian, are we making you hungry?
Yeah, you are, actually. I haven't had breakfast yet.
I'm getting a little hungry myself. Yeah. So,
the donut might not cut it.
Not today, no.
I've never cooked with a pressure cooker. I might have to try that.
Might have to invest in one of those.
Yeah, might have to invest in one of those. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, exactly. The wheels are turning.
Yeah, they are.
They're turning a little bit right now. Yeah. When you say the difference between 8 hours in the crock pot and an hour in the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the hour.
Yeah,
I
might have to try that.
Yeah. So. All right. Flavoring venison. A lot of people say, game has a gamey taste. And I always tell them, it's because you cook it with the fat on.
That very well could be. Cooking with the fat on or not a clean kill and it took a long time for its demise. That can all add to the gaminess.
Okay.
Seasonings. I make my own blends. I've found some blends. But it seems as though the savory blends, your thyme, your rosemary, your juniper berries, some red wine, a little sherry, those things can all mellow out your game and give it a nice savory rich flavoring.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There are some commercial deer seasonings available. There are some local blends as well. Mm-hmm. If people want to take a look at that. A lot of them are a lot of salt. You wrinkled your nose on that one.
They can be. They can be. That's why it's kind of fun to experiment at home and try to mix up your own with the things that you really love. You just take a tablespoon of Herbes de Provence, for example. I mean, that's a perfect blend. Put a little salt and pepper in there. You're good to go. Give yourself a little fat in the pan, a little olive oil, butter.
You're going to have to explain what you just said. Herbes what?
Oh, Herbes de Provence. It's a blend. You find it in the grocery store from any
big grocery store.
No, probably most spice racks. It's
really?
It's a blend of thyme, rosemary, savory. Sometimes there's a little bit of lavender in there. Don't let that scare you. And it's absolutely delicious, and it gives you a nice blend. And you add your salt and pepper, so you've got that bite, and you're good to go. And it's very easy.
Hmm. So, my tenderloins fried in butter could be better enhanced by some of these seasonings.
I think they could.
I'm going to tell you my recipe for tenderloins, okay? I take V8 juice, and I put it in a sauté pan.
I love V8.
And I add teriyaki sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And I add brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I stir all that up, and it makes a nice little reddish-brown mix there. I take my tenderloins, and I don't butterfly them. I just slice them and toss them in there, and I heat that up. And then it goes, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, finally. I mean, I overcook them, but it's okay. They're still tenderloins. But what happens is once the tenderloins are cooked, then I turn the heat up and reduce all that down. And that reduction becomes a V8 brown sugar and teriyaki glaze. And I dredge those tenderloins in that, and I just, I love them. And the other thing I like is, we're going to have to take a break. But we'll get back into that, and then we'll talk a little bit more to Brian here in the next segment, too, as well.
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know what? It's a free year-round tournament that the DNR Fisheries Service hosts for every recreational angler in Maryland. Now, eligible fish include almost 70 species, all game fish, from the Atlantic Ocean to freshwater up in Deep Creek Lake and all the rivers, the Susquehanna, the Potomac, and there's, like I said, about 70 different species in five different categories. There's a freshwater category, the Chesapeake Bay category, the Atlantic Coast category, catch and release, and even invasive species. The youth division is also available and connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. So if you catch a fish of a notable specified size, you will receive your official Angler Award certificate, and you'll get an invitation to the grand finale event next September where you could win great prizes. There are great sponsors and great prizes available in next year's 2016 Fishing Challenge. We don't have them all nailed down, but trust me, they're planning another great event. So you know what? Fish are biting all over the state of Maryland. They're biting in Deep Creek right now. Those big northern pike and walleyes are biting, even the yellow perch. You go to the rivers, you're catching catfish, and you go to the bay, there's plenty of stripers out there, so why not? It's not the time to stay indoors or even go hunting. Go fish. The official rules are online at dnr.maryland.com. NHTSA.gov/fisheries. And we'll be right back after this. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833. 38410 W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus Junior Hunt Days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor, fill out the entry card, that's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Hey folks, Pocomoke Sound oysters are now available in the shell or by the pint at NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie. And NBS Seafood has plenty of their own delicious frozen soft crabs to enjoy this fall. NBS is your Louisiana connection with live crabs, live crayfish, gator tail nuggets, and gator sausage. Now, NBS Seafood carries fresh fish, jumbo Gulf shrimp, scallops, fresh crab meat, and a variety of other seafood items. And they have the spice to make your seafood taste great. Did you know NBS also has pasture-raised, antibiotic-free dressed chickens? Stop by and see NBS Seafood or call 410-271-3202. NBS is open Thursday, Friday, and Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from noon till 6, and accepts Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, next to Jim Donny RV. Any questions, please call 410-271-3202 for NBS. That's No Bull Stuff Seafood.
I'm Deidre Hall with a message about your eye health. My mother had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD, which means my family members are at greater risk. AMD affects vision, and having low vision as a result of wet AMD, the more severe form of AMD, can mean a task like driving can become a major challenge.
I'm Dr. Sada of the Doheny Eye Institute in UCLA. AMD is the most common cause of severe, irreversible vision loss in older adults in the U.S. AMD affects central vision, which lets you see fine details. About 9 million Americans are living with wet AMD or are at risk. If you're over 50, smoke, or have a family history of wet AMD, you could be at increased risk. If a healthcare professional suspects wet AMD, a retina specialist can confirm the diagnosis and work with you on a treatment plan.
Routine eye care, including regular eye exams, can help maintain your vision. Visit www.geteyesmart.org for more information.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
This week on Fox News Sunday, you'll hear interviews with the top newsmakers of the week and analysis of the top news stories by our distinguished panel of political experts. This is Chris Wallace. Join me this Sunday at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. We're back with Brian Eiler, who's the Deer Project leader here for the state of Maryland, Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service, and Carol Sherrington, who's in the food broker business and shares some great recipes with us, not only here on the air, but also in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. And you can catch that online or pick up a copy at your local retailer or taxidermist or meat processor shop, or go online at MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, and there's a link to it right on EllisOutdoors.com as well. And this is our last segment. If you have to leave us and you want to communicate with me, we'd love to have the pictures that you guys take those deer today. So Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. You can go to Ellis Outdoors. Pretty easy to remember my last name, E-L-L-I-S, outdoors.com. And, you know, email me your photos. We got a lot of youth photos, and that was great during the youth season. So we continue to take your photos, and we'll put them in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. There we go. All right, Brian Eiler, talked about deer population there earlier on, correct?
Correct.
Okay, we talked about the fact that the deer population has dropped to under 200,000 for the first time in many years, mm-hmm. and you know, we've got other influences other than hunting on the deer population. We've got auto accidents, mm-hmm. we've got poaching, we've got sharpshooting programs, and other things like that. Mm-hmm. Is it time to reduce the deer bag limit?
I would say no. It's not. What would you? And I'll ask you a question. What would you reduce it to? Well, I assume you mean the antlerless
deer. I mean the antlerless deer. Right. I would I would not be opposed to having shoot $2 a year. You know, you mm-hmm. pick the season mm-hmm. rather than three and a bonus. But mm-hmm. that's me, personally. I would recommend that the guys get in the mindset to take more antlerless deer mm-hmm. in their hunting areas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially if you're working with a farmer, because that's what the farmer wants.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that's the biggest complaint against hunters. Well, they're all horn hunters.
And that's not true. You know, I mean, and that's what I always have to tell, you know, I tell our farmers and everybody, you know, that you know, we kill 2/3 antlerless.
Right.
And a third antlered. We're one of the best in the nation.
We are. Far
as that goes. Yes. So, but you know, what would you reduce? You know, if you were going to reduce the antlerless bag limit, because we hear this a lot. You know,
sure.
this you know.
Well, you know, and you also hear the ghost doe story.
Right.
You know, guys check in their ghost does.
Right.
There are hunters who I say have been marketed by television, by magazines, kill the biggest buck of your life, hunt the rut. You know, and this whole thing about the score and all that. Yeah, we celebrate. Mm-hmm. Guys that kill great big bucks mm-hmm. in the magazine and here on the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about the antler score, Boone and Crockett, Pope and Young, mm-hmm. Long Hunter Society, Maryland Trophy Deer Contest, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's not a competition. It's
it's
a blessing, in my opinion, if you are able to take a big antler deer. And there are guys that target big antler deer, but there are also guys who take their limit, and that's it, and that's all they'll focus on one buck a year, okay, and that's all they'll take.
Now, or one deer.
Or one deer.
One deer.
One deer. Yeah,
it's actually
exactly.
One deer a year. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly. But there's also guys out there, if it's brown, it's down,
right.
You know, and it's indiscriminate. And that's the mentality that you've got to talk to those folks and say, look, you are not helping yourself. You think you're helping the population, but if you're out there killing every button buck and then complaining that there's no bucks,
right.
You know, and shooting those little deer, and the antler restrictions, I think, help that.
Yeah, and well, and just, I mean, we have definitely seen a shift away from that mentality. I mean, you know, it's hard to find a hunter anymore that isn't aware of antler restrictions or
that's
isn't
true.
Aware of button bucks.
They might complain about it, but they...
When I grew up, you know...
You and I both.
Button buck, well, big deal, you know, you killed a button buck. But,
right.
So there is a lot more aware. And that's fine, you know, like I said, if you want to do that, that's fine.
Right.
But there's definitely a lot more awareness now.
Sure.
And people are trying to save yearling bucks on their own, even before, you know, we put in our antler restriction.
Sure.
But so say we reduce the antlerless bag limit to 6.
Right.
To just say 2 per weapon.
Well, the deal is
how's
two,
that sound
two per
to
weapon.
You? How's that sound to you?
It's not
better than what we have now?
I don't know. See, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean
you're the deer manager, and I suspected you were probably going to ask me that, but I don't know. Guys aren't killing that many deer per hunter anyway.
How much it would reduce our kill if we reduced the antlerless bag limit to 6?
Tell our listeners.
4%.
4%.
4%.
So
our average hunter over 95% of our hunters take less than 2 deer a year.
Okay. Now that brings up another subject. That brings up crop damage, two subjects, and sharpshooting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got sharpshooting programs going on in some of the parks.
We don't. Just to clarify, the state we have only ever done one sharpshooting operation, and that was at Soldier's Delight.
Right.
And that was a last minute deal. They were really concerned. It was after the hunting season, and there is hunting at Soldier's Delight.
Right.
And that was done after the season. They were really concerned. They have a couple rare plants.
Yeah.
And they really
and that's
to,
and people have to understand that's not a wildlife management area. That is
no,
an environmental
it's, exactly. It's more of a park than a WMA.
Right.
Right. So so that was just a one time deal. They came in after the hunting was over and they wanted to take some more deer off of there. And since then they have gotten really progressive to the point where, you know, you can pretty much just walk into that park now and hunt under our regular seasons and bag limits.
Right.
So that was pretty much the only time, maybe Sandy Point one time.
Well, I remember Sandy
Point.
Yeah,
Sandy
sure.
Point one time.
Yeah.
Those are the only times that the state has ever done any kind of sharpshooting.
Right.
Now, the counties, you know, Montgomery, Howard, you know, they have some areas, obviously,
right.
where you just can't get hunters into. I mean, you
right.
got to accept that fact. There are areas like that.
Right.
And they'll do a limited number of sharpshooting. But, you know, if you add everything up, or just say 100,000 deer a year that we take between hunting and crop damage and
right.
sharpshooting. Sharpshooting is like 1,000 deer.
Okay.
It's like 1%.
Okay.
Less than 1% really.
But that's,
if you want to do
when
that.
people hear that you've killed 135 deer in a week or 2 weeks at Soldier's Delight, they get up in arms. Well, I hunt out there. Why don't you know? I don't understand why they don't let more hunters on. Well, you are letting more hunters.
Yeah, we
are letting more hunters on.
And that's our mission.
And it's a short term thing.
That was a one-time deal to try to just knock those numbers down, get
right.
them manageable, and then maintain them with hunting.
Sure.
Yeah, that's exactly
sure.
right.
And Howard County is the same way. There's parkland out there that there's probably 10 parks that the Howard County program hunts, and over the years, those populations have been knocked down. But, you know, there are adjacent properties that are owned by the county that they can't allow hunters on.
Right.
So that's where they sharpshoot.
Yeah, you just can't. You can't get around it. I mean,
you know,
and we try, you know, I mean, that's one of our main missions is, you know, providing access to hunters. And that's our biggest hurdle to deer management is access. We
exactly.
that for another time. But,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, the sharpshooting is a very small part. And you're right. I mean, hunters, you know, get fired up, and they should. I mean, I don't blame hunters for getting fired up. I'm a hunter, but yeah, I mean, it's a very small part of what.
But the question, I guess, the question I have is, do you need a better marketing message to the hunters about that type of thing, about the sharpshooting, and about the the management that is done in that fashion.
Yeah, we probably should do a better job of marketing it.
But nobody wants to talk about it. I mean, you're talking about it now, but
yeah, I'll be honest with you, Alan. From our standpoint, it's a very small, part of what we do.
Right.
Like I said, it's not a lot of deer. Now, from a county standpoint, not to throw the counties under the bus, but
right.
At the county level, it's more of a component of their deer management operation. But from a state perspective, we don't talk about it a whole lot because we don't really do much of it, other than, like I said, these one or two instances.
Right. So. What about deer management permits?
Crop damage permits, DMPs, they're always going to be controversial. But again, I think the perception is a lot worse than what's really going on. There's always bad apples. You're going to see that. But, in 2014, I'll give you an example. We issued 1,700 crop damage permits across the state, 1,700 permits to farmers across the state. If you'd add up all the tags that could have been filled with those permits, it was over 30,000 deer that could have been taken on crop damage permits.
Right.
8,000 were taken.
Okay.
25% of what
so we're, you're saying they're underutilized.
They're underutilized.
So what is the Maryland Farm Bureau's complaint then, that the crop damage permits are underutilized and the deer are eating the farmers out of the house?
They're complaining more about the techniques that they're limited to with crop damage permits.
Not being able to shoot rifles.
Not being able to use rifles and shotguns and some other things.
We did that in Southern Maryland. We did it in Frederick County. We authorized the use of rifles. So
and we're working with those guys. So but it's controversial.
Very.
But most of those crop damage permits, honestly, the people that are on those crop damage permits would be taking those deer anyways. They're hunters.
Yeah.
They're on these permits.
Sure.
And it's just a matter of whether they're going to check them as a crop damaged deer or as a hunter kid.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, look, we've come to the end of the first hour. We're going to wrap it up here, and we're going to thank Brian Eiler, Deer Project Leader for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources and Wildlife Heritage Service, and Carol Sherrington, who's, she's our chief cook right now, the Outdoorsman Radio Show. So I want to thank you for being here this first hour, and we're going to continue more so after the news, and we'll talk a little bit more about the deer management permits and a little bit more about cooking. So that'll wrap it up for the first hour. If you're just leaving us now, listen, get out, stay out, and stay safe.